We had a collaboration with some Chinese scientists.
Here we have a vaccine. What is the problem? Get over it.
Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
I hope that it can occur in a civil way. I mean civil in a special way, peaceful.
The biggest question, maybe in economics and politics of the coming decade, will be what to do with all these useless people.
I just see the need for such a dialogue, and I see the need for action. I see the need for a great reset.
We are 4 years and 16 days into 14 days to flatten the curve. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Johnny Anderson alongside, well, we have a full lineup this evening. We've got Bruce Adams, we have Ned, and we have the fan favorite. I'm not going to say it. I said it in prep. I'm not going to say it again. Marty Foster. We will start with Ned. How are you, Ned?
I'm fine, mate. I thought that was the podcast we just did.
Well, yeah. If you would like to take part in that as the listener, the link will be in the program description down below where you can go over to our subscription page where you can get access to that prep session where Marty came unglued. Marty, how are you?
I'm fine. That prep session, I think any one of our listeners with any kind of attention disorder would really enjoy, because it was pretty broad in the subjects that we covered. There was a fair amount of expletive, and it should be good to listen to. I can't wait to receive the file in my inbox. Anyway, I'm good. Thank you very much. Hope you are too. Hi, Bruce.
Howdy. I'm healthy and alive as usual.
Some bad news. I suppose we will get to this first. Bruce, this will be your last podcast for a while. You will come back from time to time and do some podcasts.
Yeah.
But as of today, this will be your last for some time. So we are going to miss you. But
yeah,
Ned wanted
I'll
this
as well.
Yeah, Ned wanted this full round table before you're to head off into the sunset. So you will be back.
Yeah, eventually.
Real life sucks, doesn't it?
Well, it's kind of a new chapter kind of a thing. Just need to kind of step out and do some stuff in the real world, if you will.
Yeah, it does sort of encroach a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But you're gonna have to try that thesis out. Well, definitely.
That's true, yeah. That's actually one of the goals. That thesis is actually one of the goals, so yeah.
Excellent.
Well, I suppose let's start with Ned. You have a full lineup, I'm sure. I see the big notepad laying off to your left hand over there.
That's just a pile of shit.
Is that all that is? Okay, all right. Well,
I haven't actually been through for a while. But
he's probably Where is the where's the rolled up Financial Times? I'm sure you've got.
I only got one this week.
Oh,
I've been quite busy because college finished. You see, halfway through the week.
Shall we start with before you get into that? Shall we get into how Mr. Bridgen's ordered to pay £40,000 to Matt Hancock for the libel case?
Yeah, well, that just actually proves how broken the law system is, isn't it?
Well, without the fully alliterated rhyming description of Matt Hancock that I gave in the prep session, I honestly, and I'm just going to repeat what I said earlier, I honestly cannot think of anything I could make up, you know, draw from actual events and say about Matt Hancock that would in fact be libelous. He is the lowest of the low. And I can't believe that a court would find in his favor, because it's people like him that own the judges and people like his boss, Rishi Sunak, who own the judges. There is no amount of money that they cannot afford to bribe a member of the judiciary. And out in the UAE, they have this thing, and I think it's the same in most Arab Muslim countries. Your representation in court, which is all conducted in Arabic, even if you're a non-Arabic speaker is down to who's got the most aggressive, loudest legal representative. They tend to win the case. So it's whoever can pay for a loud, shouty, belligerent lawyer that will win the case. And that's what we've got going on. So, yeah, a simple case of lawfare. And poor old Andrew, I would actually contribute to a GoFundMe to pay that, because I'm going to get it back somehow out of Hancock's hide one of these days.
But yeah, like we're saying, the criminal becomes the victim.
Yeah.
That is how it's working so often, isn't it?
And he is a criminal.
He is a criminal. As far as I think he'd ask most people on the street and ordinary people, and they'd go, what do you think of him? And I'd hate to think what they come out with.
No, those that are aware. Of course, there will be some that will say, oh, he did a really good job during COVID. He looked after everybody in those care homes. You know, he made sure as health minister that this was happening. That was obviously before he was removed as health minister and Sajid Rabid Javid took over. Another one. So, yeah.
It just made me, think of something. I scribbled a note on something down earlier on. Now, we're coming up to April, and obviously there's loads of things starting in April, and you don't know whether it's a piss take or not.
Mistake?
Piss take, because April 1st.
I knew what you said, really. I was just f***ing with you.
Taking a piss.
It's the first bleep, yeah, right.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, what do you think of this, Marty? It was reported by an outlet, and then I chased it down to the Times. And the health editor of the Times, Miss Eleanor Hayward, did a report on Boots, the chemist.
Yeah.
Well, you know they do the flu jabs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently they're going to make COVID jabs available at £99.
£99.
£99. I saw that in the Daily Fail the other day, yeah. And there are doctors.
Oh, it's been reported in there too, is it?
Yeah. That's fantastic. We used to say that the cure for AIDS was to give it a NATO stock number. Then that way no f***er will get it. Another beep, sorry. When it comes to the mRNA therapies, if they're going to start charging for them, only the very, very, very stupid will actually go and have them.
You mean they should benefit by getting taken out?
Yeah, basically, it's Darwinian, remove yourself out of the gene pool.
And just to make sure it's a good one, guess which one they're giving out?
Pfizer?
Yeah.
I was getting ready to say Pfizer, yeah.
So you've got a lot of information on it, people, if you want to get one, of how many side effects you might get.
So this is good news in a way. I do know for a fact that local hospitals and NHS trusts have, you know, when they were going, right, it's time for the next rollout of the booster, we better organise some clinics. The consensus was we've got zero uptake for any further boosters. Therefore, we're not going to run these clinics. People will have to book in with their GP and do it that way to get COVID boosters. So, you know, the
apparently mine. Also, they said, and the NHS apparently ceased their vaccine policy by 2021. That's what they're running with at the moment.
They ceased the vaccine policy in 2021. Yeah. Right. Okay. They really are nervous of those personal liability suits that are going to be leveled against them. Before I shut up,
liability's coming. It is coming.
Yeah. 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 Before I shut up, there's a couple of other things. Boots, for instance, have removed all of their checkouts. So now you have the pharmacy counter and everything else in the store is done on the self-checkout kind of things. So I wouldn't say that they've freed up the staff to do these vaccinations. What they've done is they've got rid of most of their staff. Mm-hmm. So how they're going to do that as well, I don't know and don't care. And I don't think they're going to get much of a response. The other thing I wanted to quickly mention is there's this advert being played on TV, on the radio, about childhood vaccinations and how measles is spreading more. And the simple fact of it all is vaccines have now got a bad rep because of these mRNA gene therapies. So people who are awake are also not getting their kids vaccinated against, with the live vaccines even, against the childhood diseases. There are arguments to say that shouldn't bother, should let herd immunity and your own immune systems cope with these kind of things, which is fair enough. The other thing is, we've said it before, social distancing, masking, all of which damaged our immune systems. You know as well as I do, you need to breathe in some crap to let your body cope with it in small viral loads, so that when you get a big viral load of it, your body knows how to deal with it. So yes, measles and chicken pox, and of course in adults it's shingles, is becoming more prevalent, and it's all down to the damage that idiots like Hancock, Johnson, Sunak, Javid forced upon this country on the advice of some bought and paid for medical professionals who were on Sage, and the rest of which were all behavioural scientists, not actually medical professionals.
They're all in the House of Lords now.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's all I want to say on that. Thank you very much.
Just a little bit. Excellent. But, by the way, guess what date they, what age group they put on this? 12 and upwards.
I was getting ready to say, I think they're going to go after the preteens, yeah.
And they're actually putting something out there like, which I think is disgusting, that the 12-year-olds don't need or require consent of their parents.
Oh, how can you not have consent of the parents with that?
Why is this age of 12 coming up all the time?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you why, because it's probably a right old cocktail of COVID protein spikes and the other drug that they use to stop puberty and those kind of things, because they want us all to be very special.
Yes, yeah. but didn't the NHS, like, didn't we go over that a couple of weeks ago? The NHS actually stopped that?
They've stopped it being prescribed.
This is about sexual stuff with puberty blockers and things like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is something else. And this is just ridiculous. It is just daft. Yeah. I mean, in America, it's just f-ing hell loose, isn't it? It's just mad out there.
Well, they make sure that they get those added to the childhood vaccination list. So once they're put on there, specifically, they were trying to get the COVID one added for a long time. And I think they actually have it in some places. But when it goes onto that list of childhood vaccinations, it's given
mandatory.
Well, yeah. It becomes mandatory, but it's blanket liability protection at that point.
Yeah, that has got to be refuted.
Yeah.
Can't the state independent state laws refute them?
I would like to think so, but you're talking about a lot of lawsuits and court cases and litigation and discovery and everything else. But I would say so, yes. But you're not going to you're going to be hard pressed, because of everything we saw with COVID. You're going to be hard pressed to find a state health authority that's actually going to side with the people of that state, as opposed to the federal mandates like the CDC and the FDA and the WHO.
There you go. I'll tell you something about you. I mean, we all saw that. The way we all had an idea of how, since CRISPR, once they started to work out the genetic code and how they could change things and how they could actually maybe create a medical answer genetically to these rare diseases. Well, do you want to know the latest one? Looked into a UK company in the 2020s called Orchards. They were actually bought out. They actually created a drug that actually, what it does is it inserts a version of a corrupt gene. So it has an adjustment. So it actually gets rid of something, which is called MLD, metachromatic leukodystrophy. So basically, when a child gets this, you've got about 5 years, something like that. This starts with your motor neural systems and everything. Yeah. You're on the way out. It's basically a fatal genetic disorder, basically. And it only affects something like probably 40 kids in the US or something a year or something like that, yeah? Mm-hmm. It's one of these rare ones. But they cracked it. So you'd think, yeah, great. So when they cracked it in 2020, Europe went, yay, you can we'll look at that. That's good. Wonderful. So a Japanese company, pharmaceutical company, bought them out. And so in the US, they've gone, yeah, that's good. Guess what the price tag is?
1.5 million, I'm betting.
I'm going to go higher than that.
What? Everyone have a guess.
I'm going to say
1.5 million a shot.
That's too high. I'm going to go 650.
What, 650K?
650K for the whole thing. But
well,
yeah,
put it this way. Orchard treatment in 2020, when it was approved in Europe, right? They approved up to 3.9 million.
Double what
right? And when America has to go one better.
Of course we do. What'd we do? 9 million?
4.25 million.
Yeah, of course.
It's the most expensive one in history to date, apparently. Uh-huh. Basically, I mean, this is just ridiculous. And the thing was, right, when they wanted a quote, they went to the company that's now bought out by Japanese pharmaceutical group. How would you pronounce it? Is it Kyowa? K-Y-O-W-A?
Kyowa.
Kyowa. At Kirin, yeah. Kyowa Kirin. And the quote was, the lack of existence or the presence of other treatments available justifies the price.
Bearing in mind that for a while, this is Bruce's last one. What do you think of that?
I think that's extortion. The thing is, though, you said it's only roughly 40 kids in America a year. That deals with this. How many of those 40 kids families are going to be able to afford
None.
That price tag? Yeah, exactly. None. It's not going to be the rich and wealthy that have this problem.
They'd already have it. You wouldn't have even heard about it. Their doctor would have called up the right people, possibly in Japan or Orchard Direct, and said, "We need a gene therapy for this kid."
Well, this is it. Have it done. This is probably how it came into existence. Somebody actually had that, so they looked into it. And if they've made an answer to it, now the public can, we'll screw them to the floor.
But you see, right when you clued us all in about CRISPR a while back, Ned, you know, I watch The Chase, which is a quiz show.
Yeah.
I really quite enjoy a quiz. And one of the contestants, she said, Bradley Walsh said to her, what do you do for a living? And she said, I work in genetic research, genetic therapies. And this was 3 years ago, at least. And she said, or he said to her, how much is the most expensive? And she said, it's north of a million. And that was back then. So there were gene therapies that could cure these
aberrations.
Well, they're basically birth defects, aren't they?
Yeah.
And they've had it for a while. They've known about it. And the guy who invented CRISPR worked out that the raw materials to extract the necessary strain of DNA and so on cost about $28. Of course, you need some very specialist equipment to do that. In fact, we've got a friend who was working for a firm who've just built one of those things. So instead of having a team of 12 geneticists, you now just have 4 geneticists who operate this big machine that extracts the relevant strands of DNA that are needed for these gene therapies. So it was made as cheap as possible. It's just been super inflated because people are basically greedy and it's disgusting.
Well, you have companies that come in and buy it up, though, and then jack the prices up. We were seeing that with like insulin and some of the other more common drugs. They doubled or tripled the price when they bought it out. And they said, well, no, this is all justifiable because there's other treatments, just the same argument that they were making for this treatment.
That's all they do. They just look at the markets. I mean, even if you think when there was all these talk about in the European, even when the European parliaments had questions for the people, for the pharmaceutical companies to do with COVID, and they sent their own little lab rats in to do the answers. All they talked about was, on a business term, it was for the market. We had to get it ready for the market. And that is the only terms they think of. They don't think of life and people and the worth of it. Not at all. So what the hell do you expect?
Yeah, when we get onto these subjects, we all sound like communists because, it should be free. Nothing is free in life. However, making something that the actual cost of producing is less than a fraction. We're talking to make that treatment, it's probably costing, let's say, $60,000, but to charge 4.9 million or even 1.5 million for something that costs so little comparatively to produce is immoral, you know.
It is. There should be checks and balances. That's what it's about. The cases, because it's so rare, that individual case should be, I mean, 5 years is not a life.
I want to come from a different angle for a moment to be
devil's advocate.
But before I do that, you know, again, we've mentioned this before. The company that developed the process to manufacture synthetic insulin was a Canadian company, and they sold the patent for $1 so that whichever big pharma company produced it in accordance with their process didn't have to charge the earth for it. But here in the UK, I get all of my insulin, because I take insulin free because I'm diabetic. Whereas in the US, it's what, $1,400 a month, something like that?
It just increased exponentially. Yeah. Yeah, it was somewhat affordable under the Trump's medical plan that they put forth through Congress, but that was rescinded by Biden, I think it was almost immediately.
Yeah, again, we've got a problem there. But to play devil's advocate, what I was going to say is, if you have someone with a genetic defect and their life expectancy is short, and they are then cured by a genetic therapy, a gene therapy, when they go on to reproduce, the actual blueprint hasn't changed. It's just the way things are set up in the specific organs that they've had modified through a gene therapy. If they go on to reproduce, there's a high probability of them having kids with similar or completely different genetic defects. Are we not making ourselves weaker and weaker by creating cures for, unfortunately, defective genes? If the genes are defective, yeah, go on, Bruce.
I'll counter that real quick. Depending on what kind of CRISPR they're using and the method it's using, there are methods to go in and snip out that bad code that you're talking about and insert new better code, or to fix the problem. So it depends on the method they're using.
We probably don't know, and I'm not expecting you to know, because it's quite a complex question, but have they gone to the point where they've have they gone to the point where they have given someone one of these treatments and then tested their reproductive system, their ovums or their sperm, to see if that has actually fully worked? Because I can only relate it to, let's say, a hard drive in a laptop or a computer. When you delete something, you only delete the first section of code and the last section of code, which allows that piece to be overwritten. You can recover, data from a hard drive that's been wiped two or three times. The information is still there if you know the first and last piece of code to put in. So have they done that?
So even if they did, let's assume for the sake of the argument that the CRISPR they were using was snipping out the bad and inserting the good. Women, no, it would not work on them, because ovum, they don't produce new or more.
That's right.
Most of the hereditary problems do come down that way, yeah.
Yeah,
yes.
Because women are born with all the eggs they will ever produce.
Yes. So that is it. So if you have another, you got to think about it. But we live in this is the biggest problem we've got. We're not just, although there are still nature's buttons in us that a lot of people will not control with choice. They'll just carry on. But we do have the ability of choice. And that means individual cases, people, balance, everything. So if there's a chance to make someone's life half decent, I think you should. But I mean, getting priced out of that, making it near enough impossible because of somebody else's greed, you can't find a devil's advocate for that.
No, you can't. So even if it was free, would it still be a good thing? When you consider, look at Western women, you've heard the phrase, too posh to push. How many more people are being born by emergency C-sections because we are developing into the wrong shape? Women are having harder and harder times carrying pregnancy to full term because of the way modern life has weakened us reproductively.
because of the society that's pushed upon us. Because unless you can actually push yourself away from that media telly thing, the magazines and everything, which seem to control the majority of the population, they've stopped making their own decisions. They don't want to make decisions. They just want to be.
Okay, so knowing that there's a huge sector of Western society that are making these wrong decisions and having damaging lifestyles that affect their reproductive cycles.
They don't realize it, but they're affecting their offspring, yeah.
They're affecting their offspring, and it just carries on and on and on. So it amazes me how a lot of middle-class people who can afford to have children struggle. That's why there's all this IVF and the rest of it are happening, whereas your working class or underclass...
I might be using the chav word.
Well, they are, let's face it. There's a lot of chavs about. They can pop out kids like they're shelling peas, and yet they are not necessarily, you know, working hard, physically fit, eating the right things, but they can still keep having kids. Yeah. And are we getting, or we're as a race, I think we're becoming weaker and weaker with each successive generation in terms of the number of people being born with congenital defects, developing in early or born with or developing a lot of these behavioral issues. What is happening? Why are we?
We're also, yeah, because we've been designed as cash cows and drug addicts. Because if you think about it, even from children, even when they're so young, it's Calpol this, Calpol that. Calpol with paracetamol, if it's over a certain age, it becomes this, and then it goes on to something. If you've got a headache, if you've got a problem, if you've got anything, there's a pharmaceutical answer to everything.
Yeah. But in the past, in the distant past, there were still, you know, pharmaceuticals, the wrong word. There were still
remedies.
Yeah, but I'm saying pharmaceutical because it's synthesized. Proper ones, nature supplies loads.
Yeah, but they can kill you just as easily.
If you don't know what you're doing, yeah.
Yeah, if you don't know what you're doing or you have problems, you know, measuring the dosage, you know, if you want to stop a child from crying because of teething pain, milk of the poppy.
But that's gone a bit far, isn't it?
But how many kids would be, it's savage when you think about it, but there are an awful lot of these cases. You hear them on the news all the time. He shook the baby to death. She hit the baby's head against a wall because they couldn't stop a baby from crying. They didn't have the skills, didn't have the patience.
It's not the skills, it's the mentality.
Well, they don't have that.
I wouldn't say skills. It's because basically they get grown up in, you get grown up in a society over a few generations of, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. Hey, there's some, yeah. Even if you've got a mental problem, or it's not your fault, it's never your fault. So they never get to face up to their own self-discipline. They never get to create that. They never get to stand on their own feet. So when they're overburdened with this shock, this ever-going noise, and they just want it to shut up, it's bang.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's just...
Unfortunately, it seems that the wrong type of person seems to be more able to procreate than those who perhaps are able to cope. But I totally agree that the over-medication of infants is part of the problem. But I've said enough on that, and I didn't mean to go down that route. I wanted to talk about religion tonight, and I can't even remember why.
Just Bruce is here for the last time.
No, it wasn't that. It is that a bit. But Bruce, in the States at the moment, where you live, I don't know if you're aware, but it's Ramadan at the moment.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Are you also aware that it's Easter? I'm assuming you are.
Mm, yes.
Yeah. So in London, just recently, they've had the Ramadan lights in the evening during Easter. And it's all been paid for by a local, yeah, it's all been gesture eggs.
You like that?
Ramadan, yeah.
Two for £10, there you go.
Everywhere. So in London, they've had these Ramadan lights out. They've not been paid for out of taxpayers' money. They've been paid for by a Muslim business And so you've got this argument going on GB News between an Indian woman, I'm not sure what faith, and a hijabbed Muslim woman. And again, I'm not sure of what nationality, but they both live in Britain, saying it shouldn't be so in your face. It shouldn't be so Muslim. And of course, it was coming back, well, you know, how dare you? This, we're supposed to be inclusive. And I would say there should be a blanket ban on overt religious festivals in the middle of the street where it's forced down your throat. Having said that, today I went clothes shopping. I went into the town. I walked into the pedestrianised high street, and there had to be about 300 people, keyboards, drums, guitars, all singing songs because it's Good Friday.
Yep.
That didn't bother me in the slightest at all. If I'd have walked into the same high street and seen 300 men kneeling on small mats facing in one direction, I wouldn't have liked it. And it's not because I'm particularly against Islam. I'm against all religions. But certain religions, Christianity included, have been used to expand empires and caliphates and so on. And most recently, it's Islam. Islam is expanding, and it's got a policy of conversion. And if you don't convert once all of Islam has taken over your area, then they charge you a tax. If you want to stay your own way, then you'll be taxed. And so I just wanted to get your angle, Bruce, because I am getting sick of hearing about this religion, that religion, and it's mainly Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. And I don't like it. I really don't like it.
I think basically...
Hang on. I asked him, not you.
Yeah. Well, you can wait and listen. My opinion. Shove it.
We've been talking.
Hey, you're entitled to it.
We've been talking constantly.
Marty.
Trying to get him into the conversation.
He'll come in. He can come in.
Well,
that's fair.
Do it then, Bruce.
Right. I'm going to annoy you.
You already have.
I know, exactly. But religious-wise, the singing and everything's fine. Where the praying and that should be in a certain other place.
I'm going to say why. It doesn't.
Why? Because there's a big line between it.
There's not though. And the reason I say that, if you look at if you want to go into Christianity, and the reason they do what's called praise and worship, that's literally the same thing as prayer. It's on the same page. So them going in and singing songs that are about Good Friday or about Christianity or praising God or whatever the case is, it's the same as them being on the rug praying. It's the same thing.
But in my humble opinion, when you see big groups of Muslim men, because the women and the men pray separately, when you see these big groups of Muslim men praying in the streets, it's not a case of peaceful prayer. It's an overt demonstration of, this is our patch now. We're here. Yeah, that's what I particularly dislike. I mean, the type of people that were in that group, that 300, maybe 350 people singing and hands in the air, happy clappers, evangelizing about Christianity. None of them I wouldn't feel threatened by any of them. But when I see 300 Muslim men, all of fighting age, doing the same thing in their own way, that becomes a concern.
But it is different to see somebody on their knees and praying and somebody just singing, because you get protesters chanting. And if they're not, if you think of somebody going down there, hordes of people going down protesting, but they're just chanting peacefully, getting on with what they want to do, whatever it is, and not interfering with anybody, you generally let it go and you give it, yeah, whatever, and you get on and do what you want. But when it's actually so symbolic, yeah, and it's there in your face, like prayers and which are, no, there is a big difference, because basically, if there's a beat to it and there's singing, it becomes, as much as it's powerful, it's a release.
It's uplifting, isn't it?
Yes.
It is uplifting. And even just to be perfectly fair, the call to prayer, when you hear that, remember when we were in Alain?
5 o'clock in the morning.
All right the way through the day.
Yeah, I know.
There was a mosque.
Like four times a day, yeah.
There was a mosque every 200 yards in our lane.
With speakers. So,
with speakers.
And loud ones.
And when the call to prayer goes off, it is quite relaxing. You know, it's a nice sound. I much prefer a good Christian hymn, but and at the same time, I quite enjoy Jewish religious music as well. So it is uplifting, but there's a difference between a formalized system of prayer happening on the streets of a secular country, because what that's saying is it's like a dog pissing on your gatepost to mark its territory. That's what it is. And I find that concerning. And so as much as we try to be fair-minded and religious freedom is important, when it is an overt kind of territory marking.
It's preaching.
Well, they're not preaching. They're praying. They're not talking to someone and engaging them. They're going through their own self-hypnosis and meditative prayer process. It's formalized. They're taught it from, you know, very young.
Okay, you call it silent preaching. It's in your face. It's there to give you a message, and they bloody well know it.
Yeah, yeah. So as much as government bad, in my humble opinion, religion bad.
The thing is though I'm a Christian and I believe in the Christian faith and everything, I still believe religion is bad as well. But my definition of religion is a man-made institution. Take that for what you will. But to your point about the examples you give, because American, I believe in the First Amendment. I don't like it. I don't even like Christians doing the whole shoving the Bible down people's throat. I do not like that at all. However, First Amendment, it's technically they're allowed to do that. The caveat I give, though, is if you're of a strict adherence to Islam, and I'm not going to say Muslim because Muslims and Islamists, they believe differently. So just I'm separating the two. If you're a strict adherence to that, I don't think you should be welcome in the Western world, because your ideology is completely opposite of what the West believes. The example you were given of the military-aged men out there praying and the men and women pray separately, that is against a lot of our Western beliefs, to where men and women are equal in society.
Just on that point, though, Bruce, and I apologize for interrupting, the divine feminine part of the biblical stories, the Old Testament and the New Testament, all got removed and messed about with when the King James Bible was brought out and printed. This is the version of the Bible that we're going to be using. And to that extent, there has been a bit of a reversion within the Catholic Church, within the Church of England, within other Lutheran churches and so on, where women play an equal role, but it's not actually supported inside the scripture. That feminine role was removed. It was removed quite deliberately. So
have you read the story of Ruth? Sorry, I'm going to interrupt. Ruth is a refutation of that idea, in my opinion.
So Ruth is that's also, it's been released as the story of Ruth has also been released as The Red Tent, I believe, a recent movie. And doesn't her father kill all the males in of another tribe? Or maybe I'm wrong. Yeah.
You got the story of Mary Magdalene, and then there's that whole thing of women in that one as well. Well, the whole society of them.
I've got another harebrained theory on Mary Magdalene, but sorry, Bruce. So with Ruth, how does that refute the story of Ruth refute the removal of the divine feminine?
If I'm remembering the story right, if it was not for Ruth, Israel, the Hebrew people would have been completely annihilated, basically, if it wasn't for her actions and her heroism, basically, if you want to use modern terms. She did a lot of things that no male figure could have done, and it changed the course of history.
Absolutely, but that's a human doing the right thing at the right time.
Sure.
It's not the concept that the divine being is male and female.
So
it's a single entity.
single entity made of three parts. Two of the parts are male. One of the parts is...
It's androgynous. It's female. So the female. Spirit, you're saying the spirit is female.
What's categorized as the Holy Spirit is female. Yes.
Okay. But that I've having spent all of my youth.
It also varies by
church choirs,
circle.
Going to church twice on Sundays, once on a Thursday. I have never heard a Church of England priest explain the Trinity as being anything but the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit has never been referred to as female. But I like that idea. I like that idea.
Just to kind of, it depends on the circles you, if depending on what denomination it is, they will disagree with that. So it changes by denomination. But basically, if you're caught up with your Old Testament and the way the wordage is in Hebrew, Holy Spirit is in a feminine tense. Yeah.
I've never read anything in Hebrew. I've only ever read the Bible in English. And while I was locked away at the Royal Navy's pleasure in RNDQs, that was the only thing I had to read. So I did read it.
Oh, my God. But,
yeah.
But too much.
Too much what, mate?
That would just screw my head up. Because, I mean, yes, you've had the... I mean... In this country, it used to be in every bedside table, no matter where you stayed.
And, it still is, and your
grandparents, parents, and that, there'd be a Old Testament, New Testament somewhere or whatever, and people refer to it. But it is a serious drag. It is a serious drag. It really is.
Well, I've got to say, actually, I mean, we're all gamers and fans of fantasy, and the core scripture in that is Tolkien's Lord of the Rings. I have bought that book three times, got as far as the bit where they're with Tom Bombadillo, who is actually supposed to be a nature spirit, I believe.
He is supposed to represent nature, yeah.
Yeah, I've got to that bit and I've stopped reading it and then lost the book, then thought I'd better try again. So I like to say, three times I've tried to read that. The Bible is a much, much better read than Tolkien, quite frankly, because for 28 days, that's all I had to read. So it was...
You have to be in prison to read it, though.
It wasn't prison. It wasn't prison. I wasn't in a cell. We got told to call them our rooms.
Yeah.
You know, Royal Marines now practice their music. Royal Marine bandsmen, I should say, now practice their music in the Royal Naval Detention Quarters. And any poor naval person who does get given a short-term custodial sentence has to go to what's that bloody horrible place?
Colchester.
Yeah, has to go to the prison at Colchester.
That used to be a step up.
Having been a soldier before I was a sailor, I know just how hard the regime inside that nick is, and it would have taken more than a Bible for me to get through it.
I do have a bit of good news. You guys were talking about protests that were, you know, going just possible protesters just marching down through the streets. You know, you were talking about what goes on at Easter, you know, Ramadan and everything else. And how would you feel if you saw protesters that were going down the road? Well, there were a bunch of socialist protesters that decided that they were going to go outside of the Home Office in London the other day to tell the Tories to stop the hate. Except there was one problem. They protested on a Saturday and the building was closed. They protested in front of an empty office.
And I bet they weren't singing.
Probably not. No.
They probably sang "We'll keep the red flag flying" and other Communist Party classics. That was it. Then while you're still here, Bruce, we were talking with Johnny was talking with Melissa about Haiti. I spoke a bit about Haiti. You and Johnny had spoken about Haiti, and we were talking about the cannibalism and that kind of stuff. So when you've got the Holy Communion, whichever way you call it, the sacrament, the Eucharist, obviously the Catholic Church believes that in the blessing, the process of blessing the bread and the wine, there is a transubstantiation and it actually becomes the blood of Christ and the body of Christ. So to that end, And just to be completely, well, I haven't said anything nasty about Judaism recently, but I've attacked Islam and I'm now attacking Christianity. Is that not cannibalism?
Okay, the Catholics' view that it's literally is just, sorry, Catholics, that's asinine. The whole this is a memorial representation. It's of one, what Christ did, but it's also an example of, if you look at the Old Testament and the sacrifices that were done, the lamb that was sacrificed, that's what they did, is they ate it. And that was part of the whole sacrifice. So that's a representation of that. And the whole literally, no, it's all supposed to be figurative. It's all supposed to be a reminder of what has happened, what was done. So that whole idea of that, that's just asinine, in my opinion. So if it's literally
at the Last Supper, according to the English translation, it says, and he broke the bread. And he poured the wine and he said, this is my body and this is my blood. Mm-hmm. So it was symbolic cannibalism. I don't think you can even argue that it's not a symbol of consuming another human being. So it happens in all of these ancient, weird and wonderful religions.
Hold on. It might have been symbolic, but we're talking about bread and wine. And you're not comparing that to, say, like a human leg, for example, being thrown on the fire.
The biggest difference is he was supposed to be seen as above human, the son of God, deific. So basically,
sort of, yeah. Yes. When he was on the earth, so he was
representation.
Yeah,
and that is how it's seen. He wasn't seen as a human as such.
Can I change the subject before?
Yeah,
I wish you would.
Yeah, okay. All right, I'm going to. Ned, you asked about this last week because we're talking about deities now. You brought it up. Speaking of deities and the Son of God, who better than to identify themselves as that type of a status would be someone like Bill Gates or Jeff Bezos, for example? Yeah, Ned, you asked me to pull this last week. Mining firm backed by Bezos and Gates to begin Greenland drilling. So
I did ask about this.
You did ask about this, yes. This was a proposal that was put together by Trump. This is about a week ago. The day that I mentioned it, that was actually a year to date, or 2 years to date. But Trump actually had a proposal to buy Greenland. And I don't know what we were going to do with it, but that deal for some reason got stifled and all talk of it just ended abruptly. And next thing you know, Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos invest a 51% stake in a company called Cobalt, and they're going to start stripping and mining the landmass of raw materials to develop electric cars.
No one wants electric cars. We've all decided we don't want them.
They do.
Well, they can make one each, then they can stop raping the land, and everything will be fine. They could probably even make a spare each. We'll allow them to have four electric cars from the raw materials mined in Greenland. The other reason that you probably have already thought of is that Greenland, its geographical position puts it closer to the Soviet Union and targets to be hit by missiles than on the mainland of the United States. I'm assuming because Greenland is owned by Denmark, that there are no nuclear weapons stationed on Greenland.
No.
And so, you know, strategically, it's got an importance in that direction.
Yes, of course it does.
So that's probably why the Donster was looking at buying it. But obviously Bezos and Gates again, it's all about control. It's all about narcissism. It's all about their influence on everybody else's lives. Can you remember? Obviously you weren't there, Ned, but can you remember which king had Thomas a Becket accidentally?
Henry.
Was it Henry? Was it Henry the First?
No. Wasn't it the syphilitic one? Yeah.
Well, he called out and said, will nobody rid me of this troublesome priest?
Yeah, it's Henry the Eighth, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't Henry the Eighth. No, it's way before that.
Because Henry the Eighth was the one that had the fight against the church, and Becket was his man, wasn't he?
No, that's Thomas a Becket, not who I'm thinking of. No, Thomas a Becket was murdered in Canterbury Cathedral in around about the 14th century by two knights who had heard the king
say, well, nobody rid me of
this troublesome priest. It wasn't Henry VIII. It was another king. But anyway.
Another Henry.
I'm just hoping there's a few knights knocking about and hear me when I say, will somebody rid us of these troublesome billionaires?
I see. That punchline was worth it.
Well, it would have been if you weren't interrupted. But, you know, it's all about the secret of comedy is timing.
Well, speaking of comedy, I do have. Are we about finished? Are we ready to wrap up? Because I do have your surprise, Marty, that I didn't get to yesterday that I promised I would get to at the end of the podcast.
Oh, yeah. You really gave me the bum's rush yesterday. 45 minutes. That's all managed.
Yeah, I know.
That's I'll forgive you.
So are we ready to wrap up, gentlemen?
Yes. Suppose so. Yeah, you can.
Okay. All right. Marty, you know how you always comment about the festivities.
Little chubster from North Korea. Yes.
Yes. They have the festivities going on there in North Korea. And you say that this is the only entertainment that they have.
Well, it's better than what's on the telly, I'm sure. So, you know.
I mean, well, but go ahead.
There's always a chance that one of these thousands of people, which actually I think there's probably about a tenth of the number of people shown in that clip, actually there. The rest is all CGI blocks.
You actually think so? You think they don't actually have that? They do have a million man or a million plus army or something. So.
Yeah, but they're half starved. If they all had to prance around like that once every couple of weeks, they'd be falling over like crazy, which would be more entertaining. Would,
because look at all those medals they got on their chest. So you'd think they'd be falling over.
They've done
from
a
that.
Lot, haven't they? Yeah.
But they're made out of tinfoil, aren't they? So
they all the forms afford. Of Chinese metal are also available. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Henry the Second, Marty.
Henry the Second. Thank you. You were right. It was a Henry.
But I knew it was a Henry.
And what was it? Something like 1342?
I don't know the date, mate.
Well, you've got a computer there.
Right. Well, anyhow, right? You're stifling
I've got
my
a computer,
point.
Have I?
You're stifling my point. This is my surprise time. Okay, so
thank you
say that this is better than what's on the television. Well, Marty, I have a very serious question for you. What do 1170. Phil Mitchell? No, what do Phil Mitchell, Alan Titchmarsh, and Kim Jong-un all have in common?
Alan Titchmarsh, he's a gardener.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Phil Mitchell is a fictional character out of EastEnders.
Yep.
And
Kim Jong-un, the Kim dictator Jong-un. Of North Korea. Yeah, what do they all have in common?
Shit, screenwriters.
I honestly don't
know.
I can't even begin.
Well, there is a new streaming service that will be launching in North Korea, and they're going to offer British programming on there. So one of the programs will be gardening with Alan Titch. I'm serious. Yeah, they're actually going to do this. And it's what are you laughing at? They're going to be able to garden with some mud and some wood and some straw. And, yeah.
Now, you see, they need to go back a bit further. They because Alan Titchmarsh was really all about the aesthetics of the garden and the flowers and stuff.
Yeah.
They need to go all the way back to Percy Thrower, because in the 60s, Percy Thrower had his own gardening program, and it was teaching people how to grow vegetables because they're fucking starving in North Korea.
Yes. Yes.
So that's what they actually need.
Well, they also need to change some of the things with his outfit. You see, he's wearing jeans there. They're only going to show the episodes where he's not wearing jeans, because jeans are considered an imperialist idea.
So they're going to have a bare-assed Alan Titchmarsh on telly.
I suppose so.
How many semi-naked episodes did he do? But the other reason, if they're going to have EastEnders on, that's a good move. That is a good political move to put EastEnders on.
Why?
Because it's so fucking depressing. Everybody's shagging each other's wives. They're all killing each other. They're alcoholics, drug addicts, compulsive gamblers, compulsive liars, bed hopping.
Start out like that. Give them a few months of clean.
So what will happen?
Get rid of the characters and bring in new. So you got to get rid of them.
If the North Koreans watch EastEnders, they will all instantly cheer the fuck up because they will realize that their life's not so fucking bad.
Oh, wow. Doctor Who is going to be another series they're going to be playing there as part of the new streaming service. Top Gear, obviously. Yeah, the Top Gear series. So they'll have to change all this. They're going to get the Teletubbies as well. Yeah, you know, the kids show there.
It's going to screw them up.
Yeah, they're going to get bend it like Beckham. Yeah, you see that?
Yeah.
Atonement.
Time for Tubby Night Nights. That's what his butler says to him when it's Kim Jong Un's bedtime. Time for Tubby Night Nights.
They're going to get Mr. Bean. Yeah, the program with Rowan Atkinson.
So. They are seriously welcome to Mr. Bean.
Yes, they are.
EastEnders, as
they
you said,
they can keep
there.
Him.
Yeah. The Good Life, whatever that is.
Again, that's all about The Good Life, right? They were two suburbanites, Tom and Barbara. And they decide to drop out of their jobs and put their great big Surbiton back garden into a self-sufficient small holding. And they're very posh neighbours. Penelope Keith played, I can't remember what her name, Margot. It was Margot. So again, it's all about self-sufficiency. I've told you before, TikTok, you look at TikTok or the videos that they've put across onto YouTube from TikTok, it's all these Asian people growing vegetables, catching wild food, cooking out in the wilds, using wood burners and that kind of thing. So what we've got there is a recipe for growing your own food, not feeling so bad about your own life because you watched EastEnders and realised life is good. And The Good Life, which again is about self-sufficiency. Mm-hmm. So that all makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah. Miss Marple, what the Agatha Christie character that from the novels.
Yeah, well, that just shows that all British people are murderers.
Is that what that is? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we've got a TV series here called Midsummer Murders, right? And there's a central chief inspector detective, right? And he's in this sort of Oxfordshire, Wiltshire sort of, you know, the rural areas. And there's a murder every week, and sometimes there's more than one. You would not want to move to Midsummer. That's for certain. I'll stop swearing now because your bleep button will be.
Oh, that's okay. I don't know what this one is.
Poirot. Again,
whatever that is.
Written by the same person who wrote Miss Marple.
Uh-huh.
So Miss Marple and Poirot are from the same author, which is Ned?
Agatha Christie.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
So there you go. Now, you see, that's not the only. They don't just get the military parades anymore at the end of a bayonet. So you see, now they can subscribe to the digital streaming.
Yeah, that's now. This is a new thing. In the past, all there was the marching up and down the square, which is a great sketch by Monty Python. You should, our listeners should look that up.
With the big foot that comes out.
If we've got any listeners left after tonight.
After this, yes.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that was my
agnostic.
Surprise. Yeah, that was my surprise. Yeah, that was my surprise. That's
and I really enjoyed that surprise.
Yeah, I thought you would. Yeah, I saved that one just for you.
Thank you.
So that's going to do it for us for today. Bruce, do you have any final words? We'll give Bruce the final word. This is going to be his last, so, or at least for a while.
Just that I've enjoyed being here. All of the listeners out there, thanks for hanging with us. And I'll be back sometime in the near future, you know, every once in a while. So
that'd be good.
Yeah, good luck, mate.
I have to do the four table each time we come back, eh?
Hope it works out.
Yeah. We'll make sure we get
really, really quickly so we get you back.
Right, gentlemen, that has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you all for being here this evening. Thank you to all the listeners. God bless everyone and have a great evening.
Good night.
Good night.